Smurah Daf Lamed Omid Beis, four lines down from the top. Okay. Rabbi Shimon ben Eliyakim.
Morning. I'm sure you were giving the shoot today.
Yeah.
Tag anyway.
It's good. So the Gemara now is dealing with the Psak Halacha. How do we paskin on a machlokes between the Chachomim and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha? If you recall, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha was the Tana disagreeing with the Chachomim, maintaining that you don't need tziruf re'iyah, which means that the two witnesses are not testifying about the same event that took place at the same time that they saw together. But rather, one witness saw an event on one day, he comes to testify, the other witness on another day, and he comes to testify. And that means you don't need tziruf re'iyah. And the Gemara tells the following story. Rabbi Shimon ben Eliyakim, havi mishtakid alei de Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina l'mismeche. Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina was a scholar, but they weren't so excited back in the day to give smicha. Even today, you know, you have to pass all sorts of exams to give smicha, to get smicha. So Rabbi Shimon ben Eliyakim felt that Rabbi Yossi deserved smicha. So he was looking for an opportunity to arise in which he could convince the Gadol Hador, this was Rabbi Yochanan, to give smicha to Rabbi Yossi. V'lokam istayim milsa, for a long time he couldn't find that window of opportunity, but Yom Achad, one particular day, havi Yosef kamei derab Yochanan. So Rabbi Shimon was sitting in front of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan. Amalahu, and Rabbi Yochanan said to the Talmidim, Mi ika diyad, is anyone in the audience who would know the answer to the following question? Halachik Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, or lo? Do we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha? Do we not? Amalei Rabbi Shimon ben Eliyakim, Dein yada, this one knows. So Rabbi Shimon finally found the opportune moment to decide to get smicha, to get Rabbi Yossi to get smicha. Why? Because he's the one, Rabbi Yossi is the one who knows the answer to your question. He has the tradition already, he's accepted the Torah, and he's going to teach you, Rabbi Yochanan, teach the Rebbe, the Gadol Hador, how do we paskin regarding Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Okay, Amar Lei, Lema Ezu, let him tell me immediately. So Rav Shimon says, wait a minute, Lismechei Mar Bereisha, first give him smicha, and then we'll hear what he has to say. Meaning, he doesn't have a status and the authority to paskin, to tell us how we paskin in this great machlokas, so fundamental about the nature of Eidus in monetary cases, unless you give him smicha first. Once you give him smicha, then we can accept his tradition. And Samchei, so Rabbi Yochanan gave him smicha, which means that Rabbi Yochanan realized that this Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, was worthy of getting smicha, and that was the pressing moment to give him smicha. We'll soon see that Rabbi Yochanan was a little bit disappointed. Omar Le. So the response of Rabbi Yossi, Omar Le. So Rabbi Yochanan turns to Rabbi Yossi and he says, Bini, my son, Emarli Ketzat Shamata, what tradition have you received regarding this issue? Amale Kach Shamati. So Rabbi Yossi has his moment of glory and he says, This is what I heard. Shemoda Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha l'Rabbi Nosson. We paskin like Rabbi Nosson on a different machlokes. And since Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha accepted Rabbi Nosson, it means that there's some connection between the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha and the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. What is the opinion of Rabbi Nosson, and what was his chiddush against the Chachamim that argued with him? He said you don't need tziruf hagadah, meaning that if one of the two witnesses testifies today on this particular monetary issue, and the other witness testifies tomorrow on the same issue, Beis Din will join them together. That's called Tziruf HaGadol. And we can accept these two Edim even though they testify on two different days. Zeh Meid Hayom v'zeh Meid Machar. And Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha also applied a similar piece of reasoning and said that just like you don't need Tziruf in the Haggadah, you don't need Tziruf in the Re'iyah itself, in the original testimony. But since Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha accepted the sheet of Rabbi Nosson, it means that these two opinions go hand in hand. And the fundamental issue is whether we have requirements of Tziruf, of the two witnesses being together, overlapping. Do they have to overlap in the Re'iyah and what they saw? Do they have to overlap in their Haggadah when they come to Beis Din to testify?
And Yishuv Nathan said that if I give evidence separately, you don't have to call them in again to do it together. So he didn't actually say that, he implied that.
Well, I'm not sure what do you mean by he implied? If you take a look back on Daf Lamed Omer Aleph, his Rabbi Nosson's language is that Shomim Dvarav Shel Zeh Hayom, Ukshiyovel Chaver Lemachar Shomim Dvarav. Do you remember that? On Lamed Omer Aleph. That's approximately 10 lines up from the bottom. And the Gemara says that the reason for that is because each aid can be joined up by Beis Din. Instead of the witnesses combining together to form one unit, the Beis Din has the power to join them together as one unit. Beis Din will accept the testimony of one today and of the other tomorrow. So that's the shita of Rabbi Nosson.
I thought they were Yishuv ben Karcha.
No, Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha says something else. Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha says they can testify in two different events. Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha says that one witness saw what happened on Sunday, another witness saw something that happened on Monday, and Beis Din has the right to join their two testimonies together, even though they're testifying on two different occasions, on two different re'iyos. This one heard or saw something on a particular day. The other one saw something on another particular day. We combine them because they both have a lowest common denominator. They're both testifying that Shimon owes Reuven 100 mana. We're going to soon see later that the Gemara is going to apply the logic of Beis Din combining the two Edim to its very extreme. They're going to say that even if Reuven, according to the testimony of one Ed, Reuven is chayev, Shimon is chayev 200 zuz to Reuven. And according to the other aid, Reuven is chayev only 100 zuz to Shimon. Mm-hmm. That we can combine them on that 100 zuz, because the lowest common denominator is they both agree that Shimon owes Reuven 100 zuz.
I would think if someone's making a loan, it happens at one point in time. It has to be witnessed today. If someone comes tomorrow, the loan was already transacted. How are they able to see it on a different day?
So again, on Sunday a loan took place, and Shimon borrowed 100 from Reuven. And on Monday, and that took place in front of one witness.
Correct. Yeah.
On Monday, the same Shimon admitted that he owed Reuven a 100 zuz. Uh-huh. So one is being mowed on what's called a halva, the other is being mowed on what's called a hodah.
Right. Okay.
And since they both agree that Shimon owes Reuven 100, Beis Din has the right to put together the two uh-huh. Edim, even though again there's no re'iyah. They didn't see the same thing.
Right.
One eid saw something that took place on Sunday, the other on Monday. But in any event, the Gemara now, in this Rabbi Yossi's presentation, sees that there's one fundamental issue here that's common to both Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha and Rabbi Nosson, and they both took a particular stand on that issue. And that issue is, does Beis Din have the right to join together Edim? In the case of Rabbi Nosson, does Beis Din have the right to join together Edim when each Ed came separately on a different day? In Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha's frame of reference, can Beis Din join together two Edim that testify in two different events? But fundamentally, what is the role of Beis Din? What is the role of the Edim? And the answer is the following. The Edim tell a story. Beis Din now, right? And each story is different than the other story, or at least took place on a different day. And Beis Din is the one that sews together the two witnesses. Amar, so Rabbi Yochanan was very disappointed. Why? Lezehu tzrachti. I needed you, Rabbi Yossi, to tell me that. Of course, there's no question in anyone's mind that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha certainly accepted Rabbi Nosson. Why? Hashta uma ika ri'ia. If regard to the most fundamental issue in testimony, which is ri'ia, which is actually seeing the event, is bahadi hadadi. Do we need the two witnesses to see the same event at the same time? And yet, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha lo be'inan. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha took a stand and said the two witnesses didn't see the same event. We Bezdin will join together the two testimonies. Is Haggadah mibahi? Would there be even a thought in anyone's mind that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha would require that the two Eidim testify together? What do you mean testify together? What point is there for having the Eidim testify together, which is called Tochi Dei Dibur? Why would you need such a thing? According to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, they saw two different events on two different days. So now you're gonna force them to come and give one Haggadah? Basically, Rabbi Yochanan saying that what you're telling me, Rabbi Yossi, is a simple Kal V'chomer that I could have understood well without you. And the Kal V'chomer is the following. If you don't need Tziruf in Re'iyah, how much more so you don't need Tziruf in Haggadah? Tziruf in Haggadah, my friends, is much more technical. Tziruf in Re'iyah is a fundamental issue. They saw two different events and you're combining them together to make them into a kad of Eidim when the Torah says, Al Pishnayim Eidim Yochum Davar. And each one is testifying on a different event that happened on a different day. And for Desvegen, even so, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha said, I don't need Tziruf Re'iyah. Bezdin will do the job. All the work is on the shoulders of Bezdin. How much more so that I don't need this technicality that they both testify, Toch Kedei Dibur, in the same breath. So what did you, Rabbi Yossi, do for me? But, nevertheless, even though Rabbi Yossi's statement here was a total flop, as we would say, Amar Leh, Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Yossi, Hoil v'alisa lo teret. Once I ordained you, I'm not going to take you down. Meaning that even though in this particular occasion, this particular dialogue, Rabbi Yochanan was disappointed with Rabbi Yossi, but nevertheless, as a general view, overview, Rabbi Yossi was worthy of smicha. Some say that this is Hashkocha Pratis. If Rabbi Yochanan went ahead and gave the smicha, then Hashem organized it from above. It must be part of a divine plan. So they didn't rescind his smicha. Amar Rav Zera, Shma Mino Gavra Rabba Kevan De Ismet Istamich Samich. A great person, once he got smicha, it must be that smicha is valid and we cannot rescind that smicha. There are different girsos here. Who is Rabbi Zera referring to as a Gavra Rabba? According to one girsa, he's referring to Rabbi Yossi. According to another girsa, he's really saying it about Rabbi Yochanan, that if Rabbi Yochanan, who's such a Gavra Rabba, gave him smicha, it must be that smicha is valid. Okay, but now the Gemara goes into an analysis of the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. How far does Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha go? And if we do paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, which itself is an issue, how far are we willing to take Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha? So there's a more, shall we say, conservative way of taking, more limited way of taking Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, and then there's a more expansive way of taking Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. And this has to do at the first stage, again this is going to develop into other issues, but the first issue is to compare Karka and Metaltalin. So the narrow view is going to say, we accept Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha in the case of Karka, because there's a reason to combine them, as we'll soon see. But we're not going to go as far as to accept Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha in the case of Metaltalin. And the other view is going to say, which is the view that we're going to take now, the first view as presented in the Gemara, that we can take Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha in the most all-expansive way. Amar Rav Chiya bar Avin Amar Rav, Halach Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Bein b'karkos, u'bein b'metaltalin. Now, what's the difference between karka, which we call real estate, and metaltalin, which are movable objects, with regard to Rabbi Shuv ben Karcha's issue of tziruf re'iyah? In the case of karka, then it's reasonable to combine the two witnesses. Why? Because, as we've discussed on various occasions, karka is something that we could look at, it's real, it's already in the rishus of the owner, no matter where it is on the face of the earth. Let's say that the two witnesses testify in two different events regarding the same piece of karka. For example, the first aide says that on Sunday I heard Shimon admit that this karka belongs to Reuven. The second aide says on Monday I heard him or I saw some sort of shtar that whatever it was that this karka belongs to Shimon. Both aidim are testifying about the exact same piece of real estate. And therefore, we can point to it and say, as far as the ownership of this karka, we have two eidim, we'll combine them together. Even though, again, they're testifying on two different events, but on the same piece of real estate, the same piece of karka. But not so in the case of metaltalin. Now, what is metaltalin? Okay, so I told you that metaltalin are movable objects, like this table. Rashi says that in this particular context, the word metaltalin means alone. Now, with regard to alone, you know, it's very difficult to pinpoint one particular loan. The loan is abstract, and say that both witnesses are testifying about the same loan. And the Gemara is going to try to make some sense out of this as to why Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi is willing to go this far, even that far, and join the two witnesses together on the same loan. The fact that one witness heard about a loan on Sunday and the other one maybe saw a loan on Monday, I mean, these could be two different loans. It's not like the case of karka. Rashi seems to imply, by the way, that it's lav dafka karka. Any movable object has the din of karka in this particular context. The word metaltalin is referring to a loan. But any particular object, if the two witnesses on two different occasions could testify that this table that we think belongs to Shimon really belongs to Reuven, then we can combine that those two witnesses. But in the case of a loan, Ula Omar Halokh Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha Bekarkos Avalo B'Metaltalin, we're not going to go as far as to combine two witnesses who testify two different events that prove that Shimon owes Reuven 100 zuz, because then there's no real common denominator between the two. It could be there was one loan on Sunday and there's another one on Monday. In fact, one aide is testifying on 100 zuz from a testimony, an event that they witnessed on Sunday. The other is testifying on 100 zuz on an event that they witnessed on Monday. And guess what? Reuven is demanding 200 zuz. In other words, Reuven is actually suing Shimon for the loan of Sunday and for the loan of Monday. In a sense, he's confirming the testimony of each one of these two witnesses on a separate loan. Here, says Ula, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha goes too far. Now we can't accept his logic. To combine two different witnesses on two different loans, that we cannot accept. Omalei Abaye turns to Ula, and he says the following, Halacha michlal de pligi, from the fact that you, Ula, made a statement that the halacha is like Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha in this case, meaning in the case of karka, you're implying that the Chachamim disagreed with Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha. That itself is not crystal clear. V'omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rav Huna Marav, Modim Chachamim L'Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha B'Eidus Karka. There was never a machlokas to begin with on Karka. On Karka, what's the problem that both testifying on that very same object, call it real estate, according to Rashi, you can call it a movable object, And the Chachamim never doubted the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Kar. The entire battlefield of Rabbi Shimon Kar and the Chachamim is with regard to a loan. V'tani Rav Idi Bar Oven bin Zikin debay Karno. Right, there's a brisa that's called Nizikin debay Karma, meaning all the teachings of Karna with regard to Nizikin, monetary law. And what does it say in that brisa? It says Modim Chacham Rav Yishu Ben Karcha. There are three cases in which the Chachamim accepted, and they never even doubted the opinion of Rabbi Yishu Ben Karcha, meaning that we can combine the two witnesses. Case number one is Edus Bechar. We'll get back to that in a second. Case number two, which is our important case, is Edus Karka. And case number three is B'Edus Chazoka. We'll get to Ben Ubas. That's a little bit more complicated. But on this list, in the Brisa of Karna, we see clearly that the Chachamim never doubted the Shita of Rabbi Yishu Ben Karcha in Karka. So why do you, Ula, tell me that the halacha is like Rabbi Yishu Ben Karcha in Karka? There never was a machlokas with regard to Karka. So, in just a minute, we'll get back to all the cases that are mentioned here. But first, I want to just read another line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Gavra, Gavra Karamis. Abaye was upset because of something that Ula said that contradicts a brisa of Karna. That's asking a kasha from one opinion to the other opinion. Mar sovar pligi, umar sovar lo pligi. Enochinami, Abaye, you're right. Ula was of the opinion that the machlokis was on karka, which means that the Chachamim denied tziruf re'ia, even in the case of karka, when each aid is testifying about a different, witnessing a different event that proves that this karka belongs not to Shimon but to Reuven. Whereas the Brisa of Karna recorded that the Chachamim never debated Rabbi Shimon Karcha on karka. So that's called Gavra Gavra Karamis. We've seen this language many times, you know, where you can't ask a kasha from one opinion to the other. They're two different views. They are two different traditions. Now, what are the other cases in which, according to this brisa, Chachamim accepted Tziruf Re'ir? So the first is Edus Bechar. Edus Bechar means that if a Bechar, that's a firstborn animal, has a blemish, what's called a mum, then the law is that it's not, it doesn't have kedushas bechar. Now, in such a case, the Chachamim made a takana that we need edus to the effect that this bechar has a mum, and that mum is what we call natural. It was not deliberately created. Now, who's chashud? Who do we think might have deliberately made a mum in the bechar? That's the kohen. Why? Because the halacha is that a bechar bar mum cannot be brought on the mizbeach, and we give it to the kohen, and he can eat it. He shechts it and he eats it because it has the din of psulei hamukdashim. It's like chulin in that context.
So the mum is not so severe that it causes to be nevela.
Right, you remember the story of Kamsa ben Karatza, where there was a mum, a slight little cut under the earlobe of the animal. The Chacham didn't even see the mum. So that can't be brought on the Mizbeach, but on the other hand, the Kohen is allowed to shecht it and eat it. So the Kohen had vested interest that every Bechor, instead of being brought on the Mizbeach, and they get a very minuscule part of the Bumpasar, that it should have a mum. So the Chachamim made a takana that we require two witnesses to testify that we know that this animal, in a natural occurrence, became a baal mum. The animal slipped off a high pasture area, fell into the ground below, and it got banged up with a mum. Now there are two witnesses. One witness testifies that we saw the animal fall on Sunday and it had a mum. And the other witness testifies that we saw on Monday that it had a womb. Well, I saw, I should say, on Monday that it had a womb. So the Chachamim say, in such a case, we can link up the two testimonies and make it into a kat. That's the case of Bukhara, and therefore we have established with objective evidence that indeed this was a natural occurrence. Then we have case number two, which is called Chazaka. So in Chazaka, you need Edim to testify on each one of three separate years, that the Machzik was occupying the Karka for 3 years. And let's say, for example, we have separate testimonies on each of these individual years. So Levi testifies that Shimon, I don't know whether to call him Reuven or Shimon, sorry, I get confused here. But anyway, that the Machzik was there for the years 1, 2, and 3. And then Yisachar comes in and testifies that the Machzik was there years 4, 5, and 6. They're testifying about two different events on two different periods of time. And the Chacham agreed to Rabbi Shuv ben Karcha that Beis Din has a right to combine the two. And we can establish that Mimonav Shach, no matter when the Machzik was there, whether it was years 1 to 3 or 4 to 7, he was there for 3 years, and therefore we can establish his Chazok. Now that's a very difficult sugya. It's called Dover Velo Chatzi Dover. We never accept an aid on a Chatzi Dover. But the answer is that since each aid is testifying on 3 full years of Chazaka, that's not called a Chatzi Dover. However, the last case is the case of Ben Ubebas. What we need now is witnesses to testify on what's called Simone Gadlus. And Simone Gadlus for a girl at the age of 12, for a boy at the age of 13, is called Shtei Saros. And one witness testifies that he saw one hair and the other on the other hair. And we can combine the two testimonies. So the Gemara says, "My v'chein b'ben v'shebebash, v'ben shebebash, ilem," if it's a case of Echad Omer Achas b'gaba, the Echad Omer Achas b'kresa, that the two witnesses, each one, respectively saw a hair in a different part of the body.
They're really talking about the same part of the body, but they're being polite, like saying back and stuff.
No. Are you joking with me, no. Doc? Is this Purim Torah, or are you serious? I don't know whether to take you serious.
You're talking about pubic hairs. So you don't see pubic hairs on the back or on the stomach?
I think you do, as far as I know. But in any event, they're different parts of the body. It could be in the pubic area, but two different parts.
That's what I would have thought. I thought they're using these expressions.
Could be. You'll check out footnote number 14 when you get a chance. But in any event, each one is testifying on a different hair. Says the Gemara, if each one is testifying on one hair, hai chatzi dover v'chatzi edus hu. We have a principle that says, al pishnayim yokum dover. Dover means a full dover. So in the case of Chazaka, each aid testified on 3 years of Chazaka, albeit two different sets of 3 years. But in the case of Se'aros, they're testifying on two different Se'aros, means each aid is testifying on one Se'ar. That's a Chatzi Dover. What was one Se'ar do for me? Does nothing for me. Elo, but rather you have to reinterpret the case. Echad Omer Shtayim Begaba, V'Echad Omer Shtayim Bekreso. Each one is testifying about two Se'aros, but two different sets of two Se'aros. And the Chachomim say that we can combine the testimony of the two. Okay, so let's go back to the original issue here about the machlokas between Chachomim and Rabbi Yeshua ben Karch. Omar Rav Yosef, Ana Amina Mishmei de Ula. I said that halacha is like Ula. This is not the same tradition that we had earlier, where Ula paskin like Rav Shulman Levi only with regard to karka, but rather the way I heard it in the name of Ula, we paskin like Rav Shulman Korcha bein bekarkos, bein bimitaltum. That even in the case of movable property, which as we discussed before is the case of a loan, we can accept the sheet of Rav Shulman Korcha, and now we're going to embark upon a whole analysis of the case of a loan. When does Rabbi Yeshua ben Karach allow you to combine the testimony of two witnesses regarding a loan? Rabbanan diosim uchum amri om rabzera mishmei derab bekarkos in avalo b'metaltin. As we said earlier, we have another tradition that we only paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karach in the case of karka, but not in the case of metaltin. And the Gemara says, Rav Litame. This second tradition that we cannot accept Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha in the case of Metaltalin is attributed to Rav. And Rav already said something to this effect. In other words, we have a previous statement of Rav that gives us the same indication. And what is that? The Omar Rav, Hoda achar halva mitztarfi, halva achar halva, halva achar hoda lo mitztarfi. So there are four scenarios here. I'm going to start with the most critical for our purposes, and that's the case of halva achar halva, which means the following, that each witness respectively is testifying on a different loan. One loan took place on Sunday, and the other loan took place on Monday. And Rav said in that case, lo mitztarfi. We did not combine the testimony of the two and integrate them into one whole, because we don't paskin like Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha. Meaning, Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha l'shitaso, he would combine the testimony of two witnesses on two separate loans. Why? Because the lowest common denominator is they both witnesses agree that Shimon borrowed 100 zuz from Reuven. He owes him 100 zuz, albeit for two different loans, but Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha is not fazed by that. Now, on the other hand, Rav says that there are two cases where basically they're testifying about the same loan. And there, we can accept the shita of Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha. What are those two cases? That's hoda achar hoda. In both cases, Shimon admits to the same loan, albeit on two different occasions he made that admission. On Sunday he made that admission, and on Monday he made that admission. But both hodos are on the same loan. The Gemara is going to soon question, how do you know that they're both admitting, that both admissions were on the same loan? Okay? We'll get to that in just a second. And then there's a case of hodah or halva, where, let's say the second witness is testifying that on Monday, I heard Shimon confess to the halva that took place on Sunday. So once again, the two witnesses are testifying on the same loan. In those two cases, it has the same status as mekarkoi. There's no difference now between karka and metaltel, because in effect, the two witnesses are testifying about the same loan. But then we have a case called halva achar hoda, and that, according to Rav, for some strange reason, which the Gemara is going to try to clarify, is a case where they're testifying about two different loans. And there we're not willing to accept Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha. So again, the basic principle of Rav is that we can only accept Tziruf Re'iyah. Bezdin can combine these two witnesses if they're testifying about the same event. And we'll explain that now. Ashkechei Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua. Elmerle, when Rav Nachman met Rav Huna, he asked him the following question. Maishna halva achar halva delo. Why do you say that if they're two different loans, then we cannot combine the testimonies of each witness respectively? The answer is, he asked it as a rhetorical question. The mana de kachazi hai, lo kachazi hai. Each one of the witnesses is testifying on a different loan. There was a loan that took place on Sunday and a second one on Monday. If that be the case, then I don't understand something. What about hoda achar hoda nami? You told me that if there was a hoda and another hoda, one hoda on Sunday and one on Monday, we don't accept Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha. Correct? That was the opening statement of Rav. Hoda achar hoda is... Just one second, did I get this right? No, I got this wrong. One second. What was my mistake over here? Hoda achar hoda. I'm sorry. Let's start again. Sorry. Maishna halva achar halva. Delo, okay, I missed that word delo, or even if I said it, it didn't sink in. Okay, in the Sefer of Rav, when do we reject Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha? That's the case of halva achar halva. Correct, there were two different loans. So whatever I said before, cancel it. Okay, so if there are two different loans, one loan took place on Sunday and another on Monday, we cannot combine the two. So Rav Nachman asks Rav Huna the following. Let's go back to the Reisha of Rav. And Rav says that Hodah or Hodah is, we can combine, Mitztarfi, we can accept Rav Yishuv ben Karcha and combine the two. So he asks him, wait a minute, Amona de Kamoda Kamihai, Lo Kamodi Kamihai. There was a confession in front of one witness on one particular loan, and there was a confession by the other witness on a different loan. So again, we're talking about two different loans, two different events. How then could Rav accept in the case of Hodach or Hodah that we combine the two? So the Gemara answers, this was Rav Huna's chap, that the case of Hodach or Hodah is such that they both heard a confession on the same loan. How do we know that? The Amar Lehi Basra, when on Monday, when Shimon made this confession, he tells the second aid, we'll call him the Monday witness, that Bahai Mona de Odile Kamach, Odile Nami Kamiploni. This loan that I'm confessing to you about on Monday is the same exact loan that I confessed yesterday on Sunday to a different witness. So we know from the lova himself, the borrower, that both hodos were on the same loan. The Gemara is not totally satisfied. Akati basra yoda kama lo yoda. But what about the first witness? How does the first witness know to testify that he's testifying on the same loan? No, it's both witnesses, in order to combine them, says Rav, have to be aware of the fact that they're testifying on the same exact loan. One based on a confession of the loaf on Sunday, one on the confession of the loaf of Shimon on Monday. But both confessions are on the exact same loan. And each witness has to know that he's testifying on the same loan as his buddy witness. And the answer is, the Hadar Azil Amalei Lekama. Now the loaf goes back to the first witness, and he says to him, Hai mona di odile kamach. The mana, the 100 zuz that I admitted to you yesterday on Sunday, is odi le nami kami ploni. I'm confessing in front of a second witness on Monday, or I already confessed on Monday. But be that as it may, when the witnesses come in to testify, they both know that they're testifying about the same loan, albeit on two different admissions of the loan. Yeah, Dave?
Couldn't we suspect that the borrower could be sneaky? And would he have two loans out and tell each one, hey, it only was one loan? Why do we believe him? He has a reason to believe.
Well, the truth is, David, that at this point in time, Reuven, who's called a creditor in fancy English, we call it the malva in our language, he has no leg to stand on. He has absolutely no evidence against Shimon, the so-called debtor. Therefore, any possible monetary obligation that Shimon would have to cough up and pay is all based on his own admission. We have no objective evidence. There's no shtar, there's nothing. So the only thing is, can we generate two witnesses on a confession? So that now the lova, when he says to each aid, well, I confessed on that loan in front of the other aid, he's really working against his own interest. He's shooting himself in the foot. Why? Because he's creating a hodah that's going to make him pay a mana. Now, you're right, he may be a no good thief and he really owes him two manos. That could be possible. But there's no evidence that he owes him even a red cent. So if we can at least combine the two witnesses on one loan, and we do that with the help of the lova, then we have a real hodah on one single loan. Now, you may be right. In truth, he borrowed millions of dollars from him on different occasions and different loans. Right. But Chach, at least, can we get one valid and reliable hodah? So the Gemara says, as long as we know that both hodahs are on the same loan, so they're testifying about the same event, and they're each witness is respectfully aware of the fact that they both together are testifying on the same loan, then we can accept the shita of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha according to Rav. Okay, then Rav said, let's see if we can make a little bit of progress. You know, the clock is our worst enemy here. Omar Lei, Sir of Nachbar Yitzhak, turns to Rav Huna, and he says, Tanuach daitcha shehisnachta es daiti. Meaning, I wish you my blessing to you is serenity because you gave me serenity. You know, in other words, I was very confused about this and you clarified. But we'll soon see that Rav Nachman Yitzchak himself was really not so clear about this whole thing. Amalei, so Rav Huna says to Rav Nachman, "My nichusa, what gave you a sense of comfort?" The Rava v'iten Rav Sheshes shodi be'narga. Narga. There's a phrase in Chazal, shodi be'narga. That's a way of saying we slugged it up. Literally, it means he swung an axe at it. He completely undermined it. So Rava, or maybe it was Rav Sheshes, they undermined this svar. Why? Lav hainu hoda achar halva. Wait a minute. In Rav's Resha, when he accepted in two cases Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Ledina, he had two cases. He had hoda achar hoda, and he had hoda achar halva. Both cases are identical. And it's unbelievable how the Gemara analyzes every word that came out of Rav's mouth. Rav couldn't have said anything that was superfluous. And if the two cases are conceptually identical, Rav didn't have to mention both of them. That's what Rav was upset with, and he took the axe, you know. Why was he upset? Because what's the difference between Hodach or Hodah? In both cases, we have to prove that the two witnesses are testifying on the same identical loan. So we have to set it up in such a way that the Lova told the aide that this was the loan that I'm referring to. Then what's the next case? Hodach or Halva? The first witness testifies that he saw the loan on Sunday. And the second witness says that he heard a confession about, from the same Lova, from the same Shimon, about the same loan of Sunday.
And the one we said is okay, and the one we said isn't okay.
No, both cases are okay. Again, let's go back to Rav. Rav says the following, Hodach or Hodah, Hodach or Halva, Mitztarfe. We can accept Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, and Bezdin will integrate the two witnesses in the following two cases. One is where each aide testifies about Hodah, and each Hodah was on the same loan, and we know this from the mouth of the Lova himself. And then Hodah Achar Halva, where the second aide is testifying on Monday about a Hodah on that same loan that the first aide was testifying on Sunday about. Knew that you didn't add anything, Rav. You know, it's almost amazing. Like, just like in the Mishnah, we always ask, why did the Mishnah have to add a clause when it's understood? So too, why would Rav have to add another case when it's understood? It's conceptually identical. Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman said back to Rav Huna, Hainu d'shmi'ali aleichu dirmisu dikli v'zakifu lehu. I heard about you, and again they speak in poetic metaphors. I heard about you that what you do is you chop down a tree and then you replant it. In other words, on the one end, you Rav Huna, you just you gave me solace and you gave me an explanation that I can understand hodah or hodah. But then you already chopped down the tree, and now you're telling me, well, you know, and now you can put it back together again and say, well, I don't understand why Rav had to repeat himself on Hodah or Hodah. Nardoi Amri, Nardoi have a different understanding of the cases that were mentioned by Rav, and he says the following, Bain Hoda achar hoda, bein hoda achar halva, bein halva achar halva, bein halva achar hoda mitztarfos. Kemantra b'yishuv ben karach. In other words, according to Nardah, we accept the view of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha straight across the board, which means even if the two witnesses are testifying about two different loans, nevertheless, we, Beis Din, have the right to sew this all together, and the Eidus is valid. Now, if you remember the Gemara that we did yesterday, that's called Amonaka Mesade. The two Eidim are both testifying on 100 zuz, meaning that Shimon owes Reuven 100 zuz. And that, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, is sufficient to combine the two witnesses to make a kat, even though they're testifying at two different events. So we don't have to limit the psak and accept Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha only in the cases of Hoda achar Hoda and Hoda achar Halva, but even the case of Halva achar Halva, which are clearly two different loans that took place on two different days, nevertheless, we can combine the two. Om Rabbi Yehuda, I can't understand how he can do such a thing. Okay, now in order to understand Rabbi Yehuda's objection, we have to make a distinction between what's called bedikos and chakiros. When we interrogate the Edim one by one, we have to ask them seven questions which are called chakiros. Those are fundamental questions that they absolutely have to answer, because those questions deal with what's called makom uzman, the place where the event took place and the time it took place. That's called Eidus Shatiyochel Azimah. That's critical. That's essential to the Eidus. And then there's something called Bidikos. You know, what color shirt was he wearing? Was he wearing shoes or sandals? You know, those are questions which we want to see if we can trip up the two Eidim and prove that there's some sort of contradiction, which is called Hakosha, between the two witnesses. If each one of the Eidim, individually or both of them, answer, I don't know, I didn't notice what color shirt he was wearing, that's fine. Those are bedikos, and they don't have to answer bedikos. But if they offer the information, and then we compare them, and we see a discrepancy between the two, that's called hakosha bedikos. So Omra,
if they agree completely, then you throw out the evidence.
Well, not if they agree completely. If they formulate it in the same words, you know, we told the story about the Vilna Gaon yesterday. That means that word for word, they told the story. That's impossible. You know, you can't have two witnesses that didn't get together and they formulate the same thing. But if they're able to answer the questions in such a way where there's no contradiction, then that's when we accept two witnesses. So Rav Yehuda says, I don't get it. Each one of these Edom is testifying on a different law. One is testifying on a loan that took place on Sunday. The other took place on a loan that took place on Monday. Is Eidus Hamakcheshe Zuetzu Bibdikos Ksheira Bedine Mominos? He's saying the following, that we have here a hakchasha, a contradiction between the two witnesses. Just one second. Wait a second. Why? Just one second. I'm sorry. I'm talking to myself for a minute. You don't have to over. You don't have to listen. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that this is bedikos? Why is this called bedikos? L'chaver, this is certainly chakiros. So let me just throw out a possibility here. I'm not sure if I'm right. You can read footnote number 24 and see what he says. But I'm just going to suggest what I think is the pshat here. According to Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha, you can combine the two witnesses. Why? Because as far as the mana, as far as the sum of money that generates, that the chov of sum of money that was generated by these two halvos, there's one common sum of money. So that takes care of me as far as chakiros are concerned, meaning as far as the one sum of money, we have two witnesses. But at least Betoras Bedikos, which means that there shouldn't be any discrepancy between the two Edom, it's hard to say that there's no discrepancy. There certainly is a discrepancy, because you know, one Alva took place on Sunday, the other on Monday. So at least you would certainly have to consider this a hakhosh in Bedikos. Rabbi Yehuda says that hakhosh in Bedikos ksheira bedine mominos. That there's a fundamental difference between capital cases where the Edom have to say exactly the same thing without any discrepancy, even in Bedikos. Meaning, if Reuven says that the Nirtzach was wearing a yellow shirt, and Shimon, the other aide, says that the Nirtzach was wearing a white shirt, then we have to throw out the testimony, even though that's only Hakosha in Bedikos. But in Mominos, we don't care about Hakosha in Bedikos. We can accept Hakosha and validate the testimony, even if there was Hakosha in Bedikos. Amar Rava, Mistavra Milsid Rabbi Yehuda, I can accept the logic of Rabbi Yehuda, the Echad Omer V'Arniki Shchora, that the money that was given over from the Lova to the from the Malva to the Lova was in a black purse, V'Echad Omer V'Arniki Levana. The other one says that it was in a white purse. That is a secondary kind of discrepancy or contradiction. It's not really relevant at all to the case. Aval Echad Omer Mona Shachar. What happens is the coins used to get tarnished, and then they were worth less. V'echad omer mona lavan, one is a crispy new coin, and it's worth more on the market. Ein mitztarfin. There, we cannot join together the two witnesses because there's a serious discrepancy in terms of what the extent of the loan is. So the Gemara says, "V'arniki shchora b'dini nefashos lo." Are you implying that if there's a discrepancy about the color of the purse, then although in dini momenos we could overlook that discrepancy because that's called hakoshas b'dikos, but in dini nefashos we would have to throw out the edim? Va'omer Rav Chisda said, Echad Omer b'sayef harogo, v'echad Omer b'aririn harogo, the different sizes of weapons, you know, one is a smaller knife and the other is a large sword. Ein zeh nachon, then we have a serious discrepancy in terms of the murder itself. But if Echad Omer kelov shchorim, if one says that the Rotzeach was wearing black clothes, V'echad Omer Kalev Levonim, he was wearing white clothes, Harei Zeh Nochon. Nochon means that we can combine the two witnesses, we don't consider this Akhoshon. So this contradicts the statement that we had before, that Arniki Levona and Arniki Shchora is a Akhoshon B'dikos, which we can accept the Edom and validate them in Dini Momenos, but not in Dini Nefoshos. And now we turn to Daf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, which is the Daf for today. Gavra, Gavra, Karamis. He says that there is a machlokas here between two opinions. One opinion maintains that even a discrepancy in the color of something which is irrelevant to the episode about which they're testifying, that is a discrepancy. We can accept it and validate the Edom and Dini Momenos, but we'll have to invalidate the Edom in the Nefashos. And the other says, as long as this discrepancy is totally, totally irrelevant to the case that we're testifying about, then it's not considered a discrepancy. And here, the color of the shirt that the murderer was wearing is totally irrelevant to the murder, as opposed to the murder weapon. And therefore, we can still validate the Edom. So again, just to summarize, we have two opinions in the sugya about dinei nefashos. What constitutes hakhosha in bedikos in dinei nefashos? The bezdin, the court, did not have to interrogate the edim about the color of the clothes that the murderer was wearing. They could have left that out. That's called bedikos. They asked the seven hakiros, and the edim gave appropriate answers to all seven questions. Basin went a step further and they started asking questions beyond the seven, that's called bedikos, and in this case they went as far as to ask what is the color of the shirt. That's not an automatic, you know, invalidation of the testimony. That's not called a discrepancy. Nardoi Amri, afilu echad omer mona shachar, v'echad omer mona lavan mitztarfin. Nardoi, if you recall, they wanted to accept Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha to the extreme, in the broadest, most radical sense, even if they're testifying each aid on a different halva. So what's the lowest common denominator? A certain sum of money. Now it could very well be that one aid testifies on halva of 200, the second aid testifies on halva on Monday of 100. We can still combine the aidim, the testimony on 100, because on that 100 we have a common denominator between the two witnesses. Therefore, even if the white new coin, the shiny coin, is worth more than the black coin, the dark tarnished coin, nevertheless, at the value of the tarnished coin, both witnesses are testifying that Shimon owes that money to Reuven. Therefore, we can accept Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha, and force Shimon, based on these two witnesses, to pay up the value of the lower coin, that's the Mana Shachar. Kiman, Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha. So the Gemara now is upset. Maybe Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha himself didn't go that far. Nardoi were jumping the gun. Amar Dishamit Leila Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha Hecha Delo Mekashu HaDodi. When do we accept Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha and we can combine the two Edom as long as there's no contradiction? But Hecha Mekashe HaDodi, when there's a discrepancy, Mi Omar. In other words, in this case, they're both testifying, each witness, about the same single loan. They both claim that the loan took place at such a date, on such a time. But one aid is saying that it was a black coin, and the other saying it's a white coin. How can we accept these two Edim when they're being makish each other on the same, with regard to the same loan, the same single loan? Now at this point, the Rishonim have to raise the question, but still, this is a hakosha in Bedikos. And in Bedikos, in Didimominos, we don't throw out Edom and disqualify them based on a discrepancy in Bedikos. So the answer is that this is more than just Bedikos, because this touches on the value of the loan. That's already Chakiros. Because in the Chakira, we ask him, well, how much did he borrow from him? And there are two different values over here. So therefore, in this case, there's no way that we can combine the two witnesses. How did Nardoi have the chutzpah, so to speak, to say that we paskin like Rav Shua ben Levi even on a mana shachar and a mana lavan? Elahu diomarki haitana. But rather, Nardoi was going even beyond Rav Yishuv ben Karcha, based on another Tana. There's another Tana who went even further. And who is that Tana? The Sanya Omer Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Lo nechleku beis shamai u beis hillel al shtei kitei edim. Sheyesh b'chal masayim mona al ma nechleku al kas achas. Okay, now I'm going to interpret the machlokas between beis hillel and beis shamai according to Rav Shimon. According to Rav Shimon, the machlokas between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai revolves around one pair of Edim. One aid of the pair testified that the loan was only worth 100, the other that it was worth 200. And Beit Shammai says that is a discrepancy in the Edus, and therefore we cannot combine the two. Okay, but Beis Shammai would agree if we have two pairs of Edim, one pair testifies on the loan that it was 200, and the other that it was 100, we can accept the testimony on the 100 zuz, because there's no contradiction on the 100 zuz. That's the lowest common denominator of these two kitos of Edom. Even Beit Shammai would accept that. Beis Hillel went a step further, says Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and they accepted edus when each one of the witnesses is testifying on a different sum regarding the same loan. And why is that so? Because there's a lowest common denominator. So whereas Beit Shammai says we cannot use the lowest common denominator within a kat, because that's called hakhasha, Beis Hillel went a step further. And they said we can accept a lowest common denominator theory even with regard to the same kat. And that opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar is the opinion that Nardoi accepted, that even within one kat of two Edim, of Yehuda and Yisachar, as long as there's a common denominator between the two witnesses, even though clearly they are contradicting each other about the nature of this halva, we can accept their Edus and validate it. The Gemara says that we found a similar case, Echad Omer Chavish Al Yayin V'Echad Omer Chavish Al Shemen. A barrel of oil is worth a lot more than a barrel of wine. And each testimony said that Shimon is chayav either wine or oil. Havi Uvda V'Yossi Kamadur of Ami, a case came up, and that's why the Gemara is mentioning it, because there was an actual case in front of Rav Ami. V'chayvi Rav Ami L'shlum L'chavita D'chamre. And Rav Ami said that Shimon has to pay Reuven the value of a barrel of oil, because that's the lowest common denominator. So it means that we accept the sheet of Nardoi, which is the sheet of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, not Rav Yishuv ben Karcha. And even though there's a clear cut hakosha in the very essence of the testimony, the event that took place and the sum of money that was involved, nevertheless we can find and apply this lowest common denominator theory and make the nidon pay the lowest price. Kiman, ki Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and we accept Rav Shimon ben Elazar. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Amar the Omar Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Now you're going. Rav Ami is going even a step further than Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Why hecha di yesh bechalal masayim mana? If one testifies on 200 zuz, it means he's testifying on each zuz of the 200. The sach hakol is 200, but he's testifying on 100 as well. So each witness is testifying on 100 zuz. But ki haigafna, but in the case of oil and wine, there is no lowest common denominator here, because clearly there's a discrepancy here that's a gulf, a gap that you cannot traverse. Me, Omar, would Rav Shimon Elazar go that far? So Rav Ami, you're going too far. Lo tzricha lidami. So you have to reinterpret Rav Ami. He never said that each witness is testifying, this one on oil and this one on wine. But back in the day, when they wanted to talk about a certain sum of money, they would often use a different terminology. There's something called the value of a barrel of wine. There's something called a barrel of oil. It was well known that a barrel of wine sold for 100 and a barrel of oil for 200. So in effect, Rav Ami is talking about a discrepancy exactly the same as Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Namely, one said that the loan was 100 and the other said the loan was 200. They're both testifying on 100. And that's for sure is common to both of the witnesses. Echad Omer Bidyuta Elyonav, Echad Omer Bidyuta Taftona. Where did the loan take place? On the top floor of the house or on the bottom floor of the house? Each aid says a different story. Omer Rab Chanina, Maisa Bolifnei Rebbe. The case came in front of Rebbe, Vitziref, Eidusam, and he combined their aids because it's irrelevant to the loan whether it took place on top or on the bottom. In this case, in Dine Nefashos, we would have to throw out the testimony because that would be Akash and Bendikos, not like the case of what color shirt he was wearing, but what was the nature of the dagger, because they're talking about the loan and they're describing two different facts about the loan.
Had it been in two different houses, it would also be the same thing.
I assume if it was in two different houses, for sure. Oh, you're asking in Dini Mominos.
Yeah.
In Dini Mominos. Again, I think, I don't know. That's a good question. Let's see. Does he touch on that?
Different location.
Different location, right.
Because you're talking about two different time zones. Now we're talking about two different places.
Right. They're talking about two different places within the same house. And the question you're asking is, what if they were two different batim? I don't know. Maybe after the shiur, remind me and we'll look it up. But remind me number 10, okay? Because I see there's a long discussion here. Uminayin lichshe yetze. Oh. Now what happens when the judges hand down their decision? They should present it in such a way that the nidon, the person who was on trial, should not know which judge had a dissenting opinion and supported him, and which judges opposed him. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa. Again, we had a machlokas, if you remember, yesterday between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about a similar discussion, but it was a little bit different because there they were writing up the case for the records in such a way that the dissenting view, in case there's a mistake, could pull out and say, I don't want to pay damages as a judge who made a misjudgment. But here we're talking about what exactly the Beis Din tells the nidon after they tell him that you're chayev. And the Mishnah says we're not allowed to tell him divulge the information about which judge sided in which way. And the Bryce explains why. The dissenting judge is not allowed to say, well, I would have voted in your favor and you wouldn't have had to be chayev, but the other two judges outvoted me. The majority. So how do we know he's not allowed to divulge that information? Talmud Lomar Lo Seleich Rachil Be'amecha, because he is revealing something that he's not allowed to reveal. V'omer, and the pasuk says, Holech Rachil Megale Sod. that a person who tells these kinds of stories, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, is revealing secrets. We're not allowed to reveal secrets. And the Gemara is going to tell us a very extreme case of somebody who was punished for revealing a secret. Ahu Talmida Dinofik Ale Kola. There was a rumor with regard to one of the Talmidim in the Beis Medrash, the Gali Milsa de Itmar Bey Midrasha. There was some sort of secret that was mentioned in the Beis Medrash, and he, this Talmud, revealed the secret. Basar Esrim Vitartin Shnin, they only found out about this 22 years later, the Afke Rav Ami Bibay Midrash. Nevertheless, Rav Ami told the guy to get lost. Omar Dame Gali Razaya, you're a person that reveals secrets. So the Mishnah says, Kol's mancha mevi raya soser sadin. The litigant always has a right, even after the verdict was handed down, to come back in front of the same court and say, I have new evidence, and we'll retry the case. Interesting, in many legal systems, that's not so. Once the verdict is handed down, you don't retry the case. But in any event, the Mishnah says we do retry the case. But now the Mishnah is going to give us certain restrictions and certain limitations to that principle. The first limitation is Omar Lo, Kol Rayos Sheyesh Lecha Havei Michan V'ad Shloshim Yom. The Beis Din allows the Baal Din a 30-day period to check out and see if he can come up with some sort of evidence. Matzah B'tok Shloshim Yom Soser. They will retry the case if he comes up with evidence within that month. But Li'achar Shloshim Yom Eino Soser. They only gave him up to 30 days. Omar Rav Shimon Gamliel, I don't get it. Ma Yaseh Zeh? Why are you putting this litigant in such a difficult situation? Shalom Matzah B'tok Shloshim U'matzah Li'achar Shloshim. It took him 31 days until he found evidence. So that's one machlokas. So we're going to soon see that we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel in this machlokas. But in the second case, Rav Shimon Gamliel went a little bit too far. Omar lo havei edim. What happens if when the Beis Din, as they're presenting their final verdict, they turn to the lover and they say, bring in witnesses. And he says, ein li edim. I don't have any witnesses. Omar havei raya, maybe you could bring a shtar, a document. Omar ein li raya, I have no proof. Now liachar zman hevi raya matza edim, he comes back, harizei no klum. He's already confessed that he has no more evidence. Omar Shimon Gamliel, I don't get it. Mayasa zesh lo hoy yodesh yesh lo edim, he didn't know that he had witnesses. Matza edim lo hoy yodesh yesh lo raya matza raya, he found new evidence. Why can't we accept it? Here we're not going to pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel. He overstepped his bounds. Because in this case, the litigant himself admitted that he has no witnesses. First episode, all of a sudden he has witnesses. Obviously he was very desperate and he paid off the witnesses. It's very suspicious here. And I think I've made this point on a number of occasions that witnesses don't stand on their own. Witnesses have to be subpoenaed by one or other of the litigants in the case. And to a large extent, the question as to whether we rely on these witnesses or not would depend upon the litigant. Once we think that the litigant is not on the up, then we don't want to accept his witnesses. Rosh HaMishchayev Bedin. Oh, here's a case that even Rav Shimon Gamliel would agree to. And what happens in this very dramatic case? The litigant sees that the wind is blowing against him, and they're about to find him chayav, the omer, and he declares, kirvu ploni uploni via iduni. You know, so and so are going to testify on my behalf. Oshahotzi raya mitachas fundasa. All of a sudden, he digs into his bag and he finds a shtar. Harezein oklum. Here already, this is too much. I mean, the guy knew about ploni v'ploni, and he didn't subpoena them to testify on his behalf. He knew about the shtar that's in his bag, and he didn't pull it out. I mean, this case has been dragging on for months. All of a sudden, he says, "Wait a minute, I forgot to mention that I have a shtar in my bag." That's already too suspicious, and even Rav Shimon Gamliel would agree we cannot accept it. Omar Rabba Barafuna Lochak Rav Shimon Gamliel. We paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Omar Rabba Barafuna Ein Halocha. So the Gemara asked, what do you mean, ain halacha kedivrei chachamim? And then by possible elimination, you're paskening like Rav Shimon Gamliel, Pshita, Kevin the Omar, once you've already established that, and it's the same Rabbi Bar Huna, that halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, why do you have to tell me the ain halacha kechachamim? So the Gemara said, "Memeli yadan adain alocha chachamim." We understand that ma'od teima. I might have thought, "Hani milichatchila the evit shapir." Maybe we passing like Rab Shimon Gamliel lichatchila, which means that lichatchila we should retry the case. But with the evit, let's say the court accepted the view or relied on the view of the chachamim and they refused to retry the case. Can that ruling stand? Well, I would think maybe with the Evid, yes, we can fall back on the sheet of the Chachamim. Kamash Malan, the Ovid Madrinale, no. That ruling cannot stand. And if the Beis Din relied on the Chachamim, that's a mistake on the part of Beis Din. It's not valid. They have to retry the case because we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it.
The important point here is because the Chachamim are Rabbi. And that's why they were short.
Right, but there's a rule that, except for three cases, we always pass on like Rav Shimon Gamliel. It's unbelievable. Rav Shimon Gamliel had a tremendous status in halach. Omar lo avei edim. Omar Rav Shimon Gamliel. Omar Rabbi Bar Huna. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Halacha kedivrei chachamim. In this seifa, the second machlokas, whereas the litigant himself admitted that he had no evidence, and now he comes back with evidence, we pass on like Chachamim, and then Omar Rabba Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Halacha Kirab Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara again asks the same question: Pshita, you already told me came in the Omar Halacha Yidri Chachamim. Is Yadana Memeli Yadana? I know that Ein Halacha Kirab Shimon Ben Gamliel. Why did you have to follow up and make that statement? It seems superfluous. Hakamash Malon Dahi. Dibahi ain halacha kirab shim gamliel habakulu halacha kirab shim gamliel. This extra statement was telling me something that the rest of Shas has no bearing on Masechta Sanhedrin. In this case, says Rabba, we don't paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, meaning we always paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel. This is the exception to the rule where we reject Rav Shimon Gamliel. Lafuki mehadi Omar Rabbar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan. Another tradition in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Kol Mokum Shoshana Rabbi Shimon Gamliel b'Mishnasenu. Whenever we find that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees with the Chachamim in our Mishnah Halacha Kimosa, we always paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, with the exception of three unique cases. That's called Orev, Tzidon, and Rayach Rona. Again, there are three cases here, which, if you have time, you'll go through the three cases here that are mentioned in the footnote. In any event, for our purposes, we see that we always paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel. And our mission is not an exception to that rule. So we have now a secondary machlokas as to whether we accept Rav Shimon Gamliel, even in the case where the Baldin himself, the litigant, admitted that he had no additional evidence. Hahu Yenuka Ditov'u Ledina Kame Derav Nachman. There was an issue about a Yerusha. And there were creditors who claimed that the father before he died did not pay up, and they took the Yenuka, this child, to Beis Din. Okay, you have to know exactly how old he was, but that's a different shaila. Omar Lei, so Rav Nachman, who was the dayan, the presiding judge, turns to the child and he says, Islcha Sahadi, do you have any testimony that denies this debt, that contradicts this debt? Omar Lei, the child said, no. Islcha Raya, do you have any proof? Omar Lei, lo. Is Chayvei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said that in such a case, the child has to pay. Havi kabachi v'azil. The child started whining and people started hearing about the case. Until now, it was kind of low-key. Shamunu hanu inshi. Certain people who apparently knew facts about the case heard about the case when the child came out crying from Beis Din. Amru, when they declared lay, they said to him, Anan yadina b'mili de'avuch. We have testimony regarding your father's financial affairs, meaning we can testify that he paid up the debt. So the child brings in these witnesses to Rav Nachman. Omar Rav Nachman, Baha, Filu Rabbanan Modi. In this case, even the Chacham would accept that we can validate the new evidence. The Yenuka B'mili De'avu Lo Yoda. he wasn't, this child, aware of all the dealings of his father. He didn't know whether his father paid up the debt or didn't pay up the debt, whether there were witnesses to that effect or not. We can accept these witnesses. Hahi issa dinofek shtor mitakas mitose yoda. This rabosa is the sugi that we mentioned yesterday. You remember Brian Shalish? When you put something in escrow in the hands of a third person. So here was a third party, a woman, and she's holding on to a shtar between two litigants. Amrole, and she said, Yodana Bahai Shtara de Priyahavi. I know that this shtar was already paid up. And then she testified on behalf of the Lova against the Malva. Hemne Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman believed her. And therefore he said that the Lova doesn't have to pay the loan, even though the Lova, even though we have a shtar. Amale Rava, Lirav Nachman, Kiman, what are you basing your logic on? Kirebi, the Omar Osios Niknos Bimisira, which means that a shtar could be handed over to someone else as a kinyan. So it means that this woman is believed because we would have assumed that the Malva handed over this shtar as a kinyan to her, to this lady, and now she owns the chov. If she herself, by her own admission, says that the chov was paid up, we have to believe her. Amalei, Rav Nachman responds to Rava, I don't have to accept Rebbe. It's not that I'm not basing my psak on Rebbe. Shiny hacha, this case is different. The boy kalsay. It doesn't mean that we believe that she could have acquired ownership over the loan because the Malva gave her the shtar as Osiel's Niknos B'Mesira, but rather she's holding on to the loan. If she wanted to mess up the Malva, she could have simply burnt the shtar to a crisp. Therefore, she has that special devonis of what's called biyado. She could have, it's like a migu, like you said, Doc, yesterday, that she, if she wanted to mess up the Malva, she could have just destroyed the shtar. So now we have to believe her that this shtar was paid up. Others have a different version of this story. Lo hemne Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman did not want to believe the testimony of this woman. Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, v'ha ibai kalsay. How can you say that we don't trust this woman? If she wanted to mess up the Malva, she could have simply destroyed the shtar. And the answer is that you're missing a point, one of the facts in the case. Keva dischazek bebeit dina. This shtar was already verified in front of a bezdin. That means every shtar has to be brought in front of the court to validate, to authenticate the signatures. I think, Brian, you remember that from Masechet Ksubos that we learned together here in this very holy room. Iboy kalsei lo amrinon. Once the court itself validated the shtar, then the court has a record of that shtar. And they can recreate the shtar from memory. So even if she would destroy the shtar, they still have the shtar. Just another two lines, and then we'll call it a day. Esvei Rava l'Rav Nachman. Rava asked the kasha from a brisa against Rav Nachman. Simpon sheyeshal of edim yiskayim bechosmav. The simpon is another word for a shovar. And the lov is claiming that he already paid up the chov, and here's my simpon, here's my proof. And Yiskayim Bechosmav, we take the shtar to Bezdin. There are two signatures. And if there are two signatures, Bezdin can validate their signatures. But Enol of Edim, let's say there are no witnesses on this shovar, on this receipt. V'yotze mitachas yidei shlish, but it's in the hands of a third party. O sheyotze achar chitum shtaros, kosher. Let's say this lady is a shlish, she's that third party, and she authenticates the shtar, then the shtar is valid, and the lover doesn't have to pay the chov because he has a valid shovar, a receipt, even though there are no edim signed on the shtar. If there are no edim signed on the shtar, then this is certainly not a case of ischazik bebeit dina. Ischazik bebeit dina means that the bezdin was called upon to authenticate the shtar, meaning the signatures on the shtar. Here there were no signatures on the shtar, and yet we trust her to say that this is a valid shtar that was written by the